This is Billy Batson, star reporter for station WIZZ-TV. He has been picked by the aged wizard Shazam to carry on the wizard's lifelong crusade against crime and the forces of evil. When Billy speaks the wizard's name,
Shazam!
Billy becomes Captain Marvel, mighty champion, combining the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Hercules, the stamina of Atlas, the power of Zeus, the courage of Achilles, and the speed of Mercury. Billy's twin sister, Mary Batson, has also been granted special power. When she speaks the name
Shazam!
Mary Batson becomes Mary Marvel, blending the grace of Selena with the best qualities of other goddesses, whose names combined form the word Shazam. The third member of the mighty trio is their friend, lame newsboy Freddie Freeman, when he speaks the name of his idol,
Captain Marvel.
Freddie becomes the powerful Captain Marvel Jr. Together, they are the mighty Marvel, dedicated to fighting the forces of evil throughout the universe.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Comics in the Golden Age podcast. This is Mike. Now, last episode I explained that we are going to be doing a couple of mini episodes before we get back into the swing of things after our hiatus. I also took some time to discuss a little bit about having picked up some of the DC 75th anniversary hardcover collections that came out last year at an Ollie's discount store. In fact, I even covered a Superman story from the Lois Lane book. I had originally only bought one of those hardcovers when they were first released, and that, of course, was of my favorite Golden Age hero, Captain Marvel, or, as he is now known according to DC, Shazam. I'm not going to get into that. The reason it was the only one I bought on release, though, is that I was unfortunately a little disappointed in it, actually, and that turned me off from buying the others, at least at regular price. Which, of course, actually turned out to be for the best, since I ended up finding all of them for a pretty cheap discount recently. But given how much I like the Lois Lane volume, I decided to go back and take a look at this Shazam book and see if my impressions were any different now on a second look. I originally had three main criticisms of the 75th anniversary Shazam book, and in retrospect, the first one I have reconsidered. That first criticism was that I didn't think it contained enough Golden Age material. Now, I certainly understand why there may be some reluctance by a modern publisher to weigh a book down too much with Golden Age material, but my feeling was that that was Cap's heyday. That he was the biggest selling superhero for a while, after all, and if there's one era that should get a little extra attention for him, I felt like it should be when he was at his most popular. My other two criticisms, though, I feel even more strongly about now, having taken a second look, and they have to do with two names, Don Newton and Jerry Ordway. Now, Don Newton is the artist, of course, who drew Cap in the late 70s and early 80s for DC, most prominently in his World's Finest run, but also elsewhere. And Jerry Ordway, of course, as everyone listening to this probably knows Jerry Ordway, he also wrote the 90s Power of Shazam series and wrote and drew the graphic novel that relaunched the character prior to that series. And my main criticism there is that there's only one Don Newton story in this book and only two Jerry Ordway written stories in this book. Now, that is pretty terrible to me, because Don Newton was the Cap artist of the Bronze Age. And yes, I realize he did not start on the character until the last issue or two of the Shazam series, but that series was generally not that well regarded at the time. I'm fond of it now, but I can see why it had trouble catching on in the early 70s. But Newton's run on the character with Enos and Bridwell later on is usually held in much higher regard than the earlier Shazam series. Not to mention, Don Newton was himself a huge Captain Marvel fan, so that gives me a certain extra level of attachment to him as an artist, not just because I love the way he drew the character, but I knew how important the character was to him. And I'm also a big fan of those E. Nelson Bridwell and Don Newton stories. And Jerry Ordway, I mean, the Power of Shazam series would go on to last 48 issues, and that may not be the longest run, but that's basically Cap's most successful series since the Golden Age, and remains so today. To shortchange Jerry's run and only give him two issues in this, I don't know. I feel like they definitely should have included the Power of Shazam graphic novel, and I realize that's pretty large, but these anniversary books are big. And if there's one storyline I feel like should have been included, it's that one. So I realize it would have taken up some space, but I think it would have been worth it. And I would have been more forgiving of not having many more issues of Jerry in the book. It also make for a great comparison to his origin story from Wiz 2. So personally, if it was up to me, I also would have included an issue of Legends to get the burn drawn cap in there. But that complaint's pretty minor in comparison to the sliding of Don Newton and Jerry Ordway. I also wasn't the biggest fan of some of the stories they did include. The Jeff Smith Limited series was something I was really looking forward to when it was first announced, but I ended up being pretty disappointed in. I'm also not a huge fan of the Jeff Johns, Gary Frank, New 52 Shazam, especially with what they did to Billy's character, although I guess I do understand why it was there. It is the most modern version of Cap, essentially the current one they're using. So even if it's not my cup of tea, I get it being there, I do. And I know all indications are they're basing the upcoming Shazam film in large part on that story. So I can accept that being there, even if I'm not the biggest fan of it. But again, my issue here is the shortchanging of Don Newton and Jerry Ordway. But anyways, enough of my complaining. Since I was pleasantly surprised to see more Golden Age material than I recalled, I figured I would discuss some of it, and I'm in particular going to be focusing on King Kull and the Seven Sins from Captain Marvel Adventures 137, which came out in 1952, and as is often the case, was written by Otto Binder and drawn by C.C. Beck. This one has a great cover. It's an action shot of Cap. He's fighting a group of what look like stone men. They look pretty generic on the cover, but I'll get back to that. He's punching one right in the face, and it's cracking apart with small pieces of stone covers then. The opening page is busy. It's not just a large splash. Rather, it's got the seven deadly sins at the top, and here they look much more like the statues in the old wizard's palace. It's not like the cover where they're very generic, just like General Stoneman. Here, they each are much more consistent with those seven deadly sins image we've seen many times in Golden Age Cap comics. Each is speaking, so let me read what they say. Pride declares, "This story concerns all of us." Envy continues, "It's about time we teamed up." Greed says, "With the evil King Kull." And hatred continues, "Who wants to destroy civilization. Selfishness finishes, and we nearly did." And we see Laziness, who's just sleeping. And then it ends with Injustice, who says, "It was great fun, except for the ending." The title reads, "Shazam, the original Captain Marvel battles King Kull and the Seven Sins." Whenever Billy Batson, famous boy newscaster, says the word Shazam, he is miraculously changed into powerful Captain Marvel, the world's mightiest mortal, who combines in his mighty physique the powers of six of the mightiest heroes of all time. In King Kull, a name at which to shudder, for this evil beast man, sole survivor of a prehistoric race of submen, lives magically on through the ages, trying to destroy all of humankind. Even the powers of Captain Marvel, mightiest of men, are taxed to the utmost by this awful being. The actual story opens with Billy Batson heading to the office of his boss, Mr. Morris, at Station Wiz, when he hears what sounds like an explosion inside. He rushes in and sees some smoke dispersing, but Morris appears fine. Billy is surprised, though, when Morris said he's glad Billy stopped by, because he realized he is paying him too much and is going to cut his salary in half immediately. As Billy leaves, Morris mutters that he's going to cut the salary of his entire staff and keep the money for himself. In the lobby, Billy goes into a drugstore to buy some soda, and the normally nice owner, Doc Quartz, angrily kicks him out, declaring that he hates Billy and he hates everybody. Billy is baffled by everyone's behavior and goes to see a scientist friend, Dexter Knox. His lab is a mess, and when Billy asks Dexter what's going on, the scientist tells him not to bother him because he's trying to sleep. Billy sees that his chemicals are about to explode, so he shouts the magic word,
Shazam!
And changes to Captain Marvel to save his friend. Cap hears another explosion and goes to investigate. He finds two cars racing down a crowded street. He stops them and turns the drivers over to a cop, but as the men are dragged away, they shout to each other over which has the better car. It suddenly occurs to Cap, greed, hatred, laziness, pride, four of the seven deadly sins. Is this part of some unearthly plot, he wonders? He overhears a wicked laugh and finds King Kull, the Beastman, bragging to himself about his sin bombs. Cap punches the villain, who admits that his bombs work like black magic, unleashing the seven sins in human hearts. Cap asks where he got them, but King Kull escapes into the sewer before answering. Cap is unable to find Kull and decides to consult with the old wizard, Shazam. Later, he wanders into the old secret underground hall where he first gained his powers and finds the statues of the seven deadly enemies of man missing. The wizard explains to Billy that King Kull crept in and brought the statues back to life. He says that they were not merely statues, but seven evil gods whom he defeated. Kull has formed an evil Olympus with them, and Billy must stop them or the world is doomed. Over the next few days, Billy watches as the sins turn people wild,
causing Law and Order to break down all over the Earth. Billy himself gets struck with the Sin Bomb and is barely able to contain himself from beating Mr. Morris to death. He changes to Cap, suspecting that Kull is dropping his bombs by plane. We then see Kull over the city in a helicopter. He's run out of bombs and is returning to the Sins to collect more. Cap follows the villain back into his secret base. He discovers that Kull has a photoelectric alarm system rigged up, so he changes to Billy, who is able to wiggle just under the lowest beam. He watches as the Sins prepare more bombs for Kull. Billy rushes out to confront the villains and is about to shout Shazam when he slips into a stray bomb and falls. He is grabbed by one of the Sins, and Kull is about to use the gun that brought the Sins to life to turn Billy into stone, when Billy kicks him out of his hand and gets free. He shouts the magic word, and quickly takes down Kull. He then uses the gun to turn all the Sins back to stone and returns them to the wizard. In the final panel, we see Billy back at Station Wiz, and Mr. Morris tells him, "Forgive me, Billy. I not only restore your full salary, but you get a raise too." And Billy responds, "Jeepers, Mr. Morris. Thanks a million. It sure is great to work for a man like you." Okay, I thought this was a good story to include in this reprint volume. It had just the right mix of elements that made for a good Golden Age Captain Marvel story. There was the whimsical nature, there was a lot of action, there was a certain darkness to it as well, you know, the way the characters would turn evil and the way they'd react, and basically at one point Billy was ready to beat Mr. Morris to death, which gives you an idea of that darkness element that Fawcett surprisingly would include in a lot of their stories. But at the same time, there was a certain innocence and, like I said, whimsical nature to the overall story. The art, of course, C.C. Beck, great as always. I liked that it turned on the seven deadly sins because that added a little bit to the mythology. You know, there was a surprising amount of continuity in these stories. People wouldn't necessarily think, modern readers at least, modern from like, you know, Bronze Age on, who wouldn't have viewed Golden Age comics that way, but they did have a certain continuity. And the whole origin of the seven deadly sins being gods that the wizard Shazam had captured, that definitely added to the mythology of the character. So I really liked that aspect of it as well. One other thing I liked at this story, and this is representative a lot, is Billy's a major character. You know, Shazam comes in to save the day, but Billy is the driving force in much of the story in his interaction with the characters. So I definitely like that as well. When this story was published, we're actually nearing the end of his publication during the Golden Age, but you wouldn't necessarily know it if you read the story. It's just as good and follows very much the format throughout the 40s, so if you told me this story was published in 1943, 1948, 1952, I would have believed either way. You know, one thing I noticed about his tales is even though tastes were changing and superhero sales were falling, the quality of Captain Marvel's stories didn't suffer at all. They stayed great right until the end. And so if you ever go back and you read them, because again, they're available on a lot of public domain comic websites on the internet, you can get the entire catalog of Golden Age Captain Marvel stories for free and legally, you'll find that their quality stayed very good right until the end. You know, if you like what you're reading in 1943, you're going to like what you're reading in 1953. And like I said, there was a continuity to them. You know, they reference past stories. You know, the origin of the characters were not changed drastically. There were little tweaks here and there, just like there are in modern times. But, you know, you're dealing with the same character, the same universe. So, and again, he is my favorite Golden Age superhero. So I am a sucker for a Captain Marvel story. And while this one may not have been the best ever, it was a good, solid tale. The continuity aspect added to it. So I'm glad they used it. So that is going to wrap up my coverage of this particular issue. I do want to thank you for joining us for another mini-episode of the Comics in the Golden Age podcast. I want to wrap up with a few points. You know, we do have our Facebook page, Comics in the Golden Age. You can feel free to follow us there. We also have the Twitter account, Comics in the GA. Please feel free to follow us on there. Also, if you're willing and you're enjoying the show, please leave a review on iTunes. That is the best way to get the show noticed and heard by other people. So we would very much appreciate any reviews on iTunes. I'm not sure how many more mini episodes we're going to do before we get to the big episode where we cover Prince Valiant, but there's probably at least one more. And after that, we'll get back into the groove of our normal kind of scheduled episodes. But thank you for your patience and thank you for joining me. I really appreciate those that stuck with us throughout our hiatus. And with that, goodbye.
So ends another another adventure with the Mighty Marvel. You won't want to miss the next exciting adventure with star reporter Billy Batson, his sister Mary, their friend Freddie Freeman, lovable Uncle Dudley, and that amazing talking tiger, Mr. Tawny.
Thank you.